It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Governor-elect Tony Evers' environmental policies are likely to be a lot different from his predecessor. While Governor Scott Walker cut science positions from the Department of Natural Resources and joined a group of states suing the federal government over the Clean Power Plan, Evers has said he'll give more power to the DNR and prioritize issues like pollution and climate change. But in order to do that, he'll have to get past or go around a Republican-controlled legislature, which is not likely to support his environmental stance. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Lee Berquist joins us to talk about what an Evers administration might look like in terms of environmental policy. Lee, good morning and welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, John.
Tony Evers promoted himself as the education candidate, but we've heard from several listeners that they voted for him in part because of environmental issues. What is Governor-elect Evers saying he's going to prioritize when it comes to environmental policy?
Well, I think he has, as you're right, he spoke more on education and other issues than he has on the environment, but the environment has been an issue that voters have talked about. And one of the main things is that, at least in his view, he would like to give more voice to the Department of Natural Resources than it has had under the Walker administration. During the last 8 years, the DNR has been muted to some extent by the legislature and the administration in a variety of ways. And I think Evers would like to see that agency have more of a voice in its professional staff. At least letting people know what some of the major environmental problems are out there.
Yeah, how much can he do to, for example, restore scientific positions and things like that to the DNR?
Well, the governor still has considerable powers, and one is that he's going to propose his budget and he'll allow him to manage his departments the way he would like. Now, there's a considerable legislative oversight, but there's an opportunity where you might see Evers provide more attention to issues like science, water quality issues, especially at the agency.
What about Foxconn? There were a number of waivers granted to Foxconn in terms of environmental regulation. What has Tony Evers said about that?
Well, he has said that he has heard concerns from scientists that the air permits that were approved for Foxconn there was some questions about whether those were approved correctly or not. I have asked his transition team about that. I have gotten no response. I have heard from others that is going to be a difficult effort to try to reject those permits or do something that would require the DNR to look at them again. There would have to be some proof, legal proof, that those permits were not approved appropriately, and I'm not certain that is something that is going to happen.
Lee Berquist is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who writes about local news and environmental issues. Lee, how will Governor-elect Evers manage to reach his stated policy goals, particularly given the fact that he faces a rather hostile legislature with Republicans firmly in the majority in both houses?
Well, it's going to be difficult. And the reason is not only that he has to share power with the legislature, but they can review the legislature can review any rules that are advanced by the new administration, by any agencies. They've always had that power, And then when Walker was after Walker was elected, they also the legislature also made sure that any existing regulations that are in place right now that administrative agencies can't just willy-nilly try to change those. All of that has to be approved by the legislature as well. So they have considerable power, and they want to keep many of the reforms or changes in laws that have occurred since 2011 when Walker and the legislature took power.
Are there any environmental issues you can see Republicans coming together with Governor Evers on?
Well, I think there could be a few, you know, and they're mostly in the area of water quality. There was some movement during in the last year or so to address contaminated wells, particularly in northeastern Wisconsin. And so there were some rules that that the legislature approved and were advanced by the Walker administration to regulate the spreading of manure. I think that there could be some attention given in other parts of the state to well contamination, especially of nitrates. There's also industrial chemicals known as perfluorinated chemicals that are beginning to be discovered at industrial sites and at military bases and airports in Wisconsin. And I think that that's something that there could be some attention given to as well.
What about issues around climate change and all the flooding that Wisconsin has seen? Could we see some bipartisan support for some kind of wetlands restoration legislation to kind of try to mitigate some of the flooding we've had?
Well, that also would be difficult. There's been several measures going back 8 years where there was loosened wetlands regulation, there will be efforts to try to find new if companies are building on new wetlands, they have to recreate wetlands elsewhere, and I think that that's going to, I think pretty much that'll remain the same. There could be some push on that if some communities, if this flooding continues, you could see some pushback, but I'm not certain that you would see much in that vein right now.
Governor-elect Evers' stance on the environment, radically different from Governor Scott Walker's. How is Tony Evers talking about this? Is he explicitly differentiating himself from Walker, or is saying he wants to undo Governor Walker's policies?
Well, he's really spoken about it in terms of trying to give the Department of Natural Resources a little bit more voice in matters. He has not been very explicit in contrasting between him and Governor Walker, but climate change would be one. And clearly he believes that humans are a source of climate change.
Okay. Lee Berquist, a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, John.
Lee writes about local news and environmental issues. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. Stay with us. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The 2018 midterm elections saw record turnouts in Wisconsin and higher than average turnouts across the country, with around 50% nationally, upwards of 60% here in the Badger State. But our guest says turnout could have been even higher if all states offered same-day voter registration like we have here in Wisconsin. Do you think same-day registration should be available nationwide? If you've taken advantage of same-day voter registration, we want to hear from you. What was your experience like? If you have some concerns about same-day registration, what are they? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Robert Alexander is chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Geography, and a professor of political science at Ohio Northern University. His areas of expertise include elections and the Electoral College. Robert Alexander, welcome to the morning show.
Thanks for having me, John.
The title of your recent op-ed in The Hill is Before the Next Election, All States Need Same-Day Registration. So you definitely have an opinion there. Before we get to that, though, how many states currently allow voters to register the same day they vote?
It's about 15 states in the District of Columbia that allow some form of election day registration.
And as we said, Wisconsin is one of those and has been for a long time. Who does same-day voter registration benefit the most?
Well, there's actually a little bit of debate about that. A lot of Democrats think that they probably would benefit the most, and Republicans, I think, have some concern about it. When you look at public opinion polls, that's how it breaks out. And if there's an obstacle in state legislatures, it's typically from Republicans rather than Democrats. But there's some debate in the scholarly literature about who it actually benefits. You could take the high road and say that it benefits the American people if indeed we do have higher voter turnout, which should increase accountability of our office holders across the board. So, and the research does indicate that it does bring higher voter turnout for those states that adopt it.
We had a tweet from Jonathan Kay who says he doesn't see a reason not to have same-day registration because it opens up the democratic process. Better yet, he says, why not have automatic registration when you file your taxes or at the Department of Motor Vehicles? Robert, what do you think of Jonathan's idea of having automatic registration when you file taxes or go to the DMV?
Right. Well, Jonathan would actually be in the majority of citizens out there. Pew Research recently did a public opinion poll on a whole host of potential reform proposals that relate to voter registration. And for things like automatically updating voter registrations, like 90% of Democrats support that, but also 84% of Republicans. Similarly, you have large majorities that would support same-day registration, automatically registering all eligible citizens to vote. Even a national holiday for voting is widely supported by both Democrats and Republicans. So there's a lot of support for these types of things because, you know, it speaks to the ethic of democracy in the first place. You know, why put these barriers up there for Americans? You know, there's some debate, well, if you wait till the last day, does that mean that you're fully informed? Well, we don't know that people that have registered in advance are fully informed either. So I think Jonathan is, like I said, in the majority of most citizens.
Let's take a call from Ben in Madison. Ben, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I think as most NPR listeners will realize, our political system is quite broken in large part due to all the barriers to voting, everything from insecure voting machines to states putting up barriers which 100% of the time are intended to disenfranchise people, not to make the process more secure, reliable. I like an idea I've heard floating around to have a constitutional amendment guaranteeing everyone the right to vote, no barriers, no carve-outs, no exceptions. Simple, plain. And I'd like to see people oppose that and then tell us exactly why that shouldn't be in the Constitution.
Robert, thanks. Ben, thanks for that call. Robert, should voting be more explicitly embedded in our Constitution? And is it now? I mean, is there an explicit right to vote in the Constitution?
Well, you know, the Voting Rights Act was to, you know, eliminate barriers to the franchise. We've had a move toward greater democracy throughout our nation's history. You know, and these types of reforms are all part of that. Obviously, We've had quite a bit of discussion, and most of it has been stimulated by our current president about potential election fraud and rigged elections. You know, certainly in my lifetime, I don't ever recall so much conversation, especially coming from the highest levels of such things. We had our commission to try and, you know, gauge the amount of election fraud, and the political science literature on it is pretty clear that there's very little fraud that actually occurs, and so a lot of the discussion doesn't merit the amount of attention that it actually gets. So guaranteeing people the right to vote should be something that that all of us certainly believe in and should be respected across the board.
But what about Ben's idea of a specific constitutional amendment that makes it very clear that everyone has the right to vote?
Well, that would definitely put some people on the defense, to, as he said, to try and, you know, defend the right to, or the argument that would say that not everybody would have the right to vote. So that would be interesting. I don't think that, you know, amending the Constitution is one of the hardest things to do. As he also mentioned, we have a pretty broken political process. Seeing an amendment make its way to success would be very surprising. But I think really what he's looking for is to have that argument, to have that conversation. And it's potentially that, you know, not that I would see it passing, but having that conversation may stimulate other opportunities to extend the vote.
Robert Alexander is a professor of political science at Ohio Northern University. We're talking about same-day registration and how that could improve voter turnout. You wrote that young Americans are the most likely to benefit from Election Day registration. Why is that?
Well, same-day registration, what it really allows is, you know, people that are mobile, and the young people are the most mobile out there. My own daughter just started her first year at college, and she was kind of perplexed on, you know, where should I vote? Am I a resident at my university? Am I a resident at home? Where should I vote? And in Ohio, we do not have same-day registration, so fortunately, she's the daughter of a political scientist, so she was on top of it, but not all people are like that, and you know, in the chaos of a move, there's so many other things to be thinking about. So young people, and again, you know, they're just being invited into the political process. And frankly, you know, most of the interest in politics is peaked right around election time, not 30 days in advance of an election. So young people would be the most to benefit from same-day registration, the most mobile people out there, which is one of the reasons why a lot of folks think that it would benefit the Democrats, because young people tend to vote more for Democrats than Republicans.
Let's take another phone call. Edgar joins us in Baraboo. Edgar, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it's funny to take it right now, but speaking of moving, I moved, I think, a couple days before the primary this year, and so I was not pre-registered, and for me and my wife to be able to same day register, that was, I mean, allowed us to vote in the primary. So I think it's extremely important for that kind of reason.
Edgar, thank you very much. You, Edgar, just illustrated the point you just made, that we're a mobile society. People are moving all the time. Critics have voiced concerns that same day registration doesn't allow enough time to verify voter information. How would you address that concern, Robert Alexander?
Well, I think in states that have it, they have found ways to do it. I think that you're going to have a guest on later that will probably talk about that. I think right along with that, questions of cost also are there. But then again, you have to ask the question, you know, at what cost do we not want to have a democracy? At what cost do we not want to have representative democracy? So I think those are questions that we need to have as a society. It's kind of interesting. I have another daughter who's 17, and she saw all these tweets and whatnot about I voted, and she was so frustrated. Like, I get it, you get to vote. I mean, why would we not want to have
right.
people out there who want to cast a vote, like your last caller who just moved? And if he were in a state like Ohio, if he hadn't pre-registered in the midst of changing utilities and whatnot, he wouldn't have had that opportunity. So it just seems a little backward to not extend that franchise to those who would want to exercise their right.
15 states and the District of Columbia have some form of same-day registration. Doesn't seem like an awful lot. Are other states currently considering implementing this kind of thing?
Well, we just saw Michigan pass, I believe, EDR, but they also allowed for automatic registration. I think Maryland was considering it, but I think the state legislature was looking to put it down. You saw in Florida, you know, big news there about extending the franchise to convicted felons after they've done their time. So
we're seeing some movement.
We are absolutely seeing something.
Okay, and that's where we'll have to leave it. Robert Alexander is a professor of political science at Ohio Northern University. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a real pleasure, John. You have a great day.
You too. Coming up after the news, we'll continue the conversation about same-day registration and check in with a state election official about how it works here in Wisconsin. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. With the midterm elections in our rear view, we're taking a closer look at same-day voter registration. It's the law of the land here in Wisconsin and 14 other states, plus the District of Columbia. But what about the rest of the nation? And for states that allow it, how often is it used? Did you register the same day you voted last week? Would you have been able to vote if Wisconsin didn't allow for same-day registration? And why is that? Were you on the fence about voting until the weeks leading up to the election when you learned about an issue that motivated you to vote? Or did you simply not have enough time to think about the midterms until the days leading up to it when all the get-out-and-vote campaigns started to really ramp up? Do you think all states should have same-day voter registration? Why or why not? We heard from a listener in our previous segment saying that everybody should have this. Should voters in states without same-day registration just be more responsible about planning in advance? Or do you think registering on a separate day is a nuisance and that same-day voter registration would improve turnout for the people that have other things in their lives to worry about, like moving? 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's turn to our guests. Barry Burden is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's also the director of the Elections Research Center at the UW and the Lyons Family Chair in Electoral Politics. Barry, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we also welcome Megan Wolf to the show. She's the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Megan, while the results are still coming in, what do we know about how same-day registration panned out in Wisconsin for this year's midterms?
Well, typically here in the state of Wisconsin, we see about 10 to 15% of the voters who do cast a ballot on Election Day utilize the same-day voter registration provisions. So 10 to 15% of Wisconsin voters that cast a ballot on Election Day most likely utilized Election Day registration.
And has the number of voters taking advantage of same-day registration been increasing in recent years?
What we've seen is it stays fairly steady. That being said, we still do not know exactly how many voters did utilize same-day voter registration for this past general election on November 6th. And that's because a lot of the clerks are still entering participation and getting those records into the statewide system. So we're not sure exactly how many people did utilize same-day voter registration for this election. But again, historically, we see 10 to 15%, and that does stay fairly steady for a general election.
Barry, in your op-ed piece for the State Journal, you say same-day registration could save the day. Save the day from what and how?
Well, you may remember there were a lot of concerns about voting systems being hacked or compromised in some way, maybe by a foreign actor. There have also been concerns about machines just malfunctioning in a number of states. The machinery is quite old and out of date, and so the question is, what happens on an election day if the system fails, either because of a malicious act or something incidental? And same-day registration is sitting there as a possible remedy. It wouldn't be pleasant. It would be a difficult election day for sure. But when a voter shows up to vote and is not on the rolls because the rolls don't exist, same-day registration at least allows for a mechanism to put a person onto the rolls and allow them to cast a ballot at the moment. It's never been used in that way. I hope it wouldn't come to that, but it is a fail-safe in the event of a catastrophe.
Well, and I believe that one of the things that happened in Georgia, where your registration information is supposed to update whenever you change your driver's license, one of the problems they had there was that the driver's license people weren't sending their information on. So there again, same-day registration would solve that problem as well. Megan, what are some of the reasons someone would need to register on Election Day?
Sure. So you can register to vote on Election Day if you're a first-time voter in the state of Wisconsin. So let's say that you've just moved to the state or you recently turned 18. Another reason may be if you changed your address or if you changed your name. So if either of those two things happen, you need to re-register to vote in Wisconsin. And you can do that a number of different ways. You could do that online more than 20 days before the election. You could do it in your clerk's office up through the Friday before the election. You could do it by mail in the 20 days leading up to the election, and then, of course, you can do it on Election Day at the polls.
Let's take a call from Mary in Madison. Mary, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Hi, thank you. I'm an election chief at a municipality polling place here in Dane County, and so I've got a couple of comments on same-day registration. First of all, my anecdotal experience is that most people who are registering on that day are new to our community. They have moved to our community within the last few months, or they've moved within our community in the last few months. I really think that's important that they're able to do that. Like you said, when you're moving, there's a lot going on in your life, and, you know, it's nice that they can come to the poll and do that. As far as expense is concerned, I don't understand that argument. And poll workers are actually paid the minimum wage, and some of them actually decline that payment, and they volunteer their time. So I don't know how there'd be a cheaper way to register people. Then I heard something about how it's hard to verify their identification that they're using. Well, it's the same identification that you use if you go to your clerk's office ahead of time to register. So I do not understand that. It is the same list of stuff to register at the polls that is to register a month ahead at the clerk's office. That list is very well defined. It's long. It's easy to use for people who are registering. There's just nothing I've ever heard about same day that holds water, you know, anything that's negative about it.
All right. And Mary, thanks for your call. Megan, what are some of if I wanted to register on Election Day, walk us through the process. What's it look like?
Sure. So when you register to vote, and like the caller said, it doesn't matter when you register to vote, you have to provide what's called a proof of residence document. Now, this is something that's going to have your current name and your current address on it. And it could be something like a utility bill, a bank statement. If your Wisconsin driver license or state ID card had your current address on it, you could even use that as your proof of residence document. But you're going to have to fill out a voter registration form that gives information about yourself, and you're also going to make some affirmations about your eligibility to be a registered voter here in the state of Wisconsin. And if somebody does falsify that information, they would be subject to a very serious felony penalty if they were to make that certification incorrectly. And then they're going to show that proof of residence document or send it in with their registration. And again, that's showing their current name and their current address in order to register to vote.
Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Barry Burden is also with us. He's a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Barry, do we know if states that have same-day registration have higher voter turnout than states that don't allow it?
We do have pretty good evidence on that question because states have been doing this for many years, particularly Wisconsin and Minnesota, who have had it for half a century now. We have several studies indicating that presence of Election Day registration in a state tends to increase voter turnout, usually by several percentage points. The estimates do vary a little bit depending on who's done the study and what data are involved, but the results are quite consistent that it does tend to boost turnout.
And what about the politics of it all, Barry? Is there any evidence that same-day registration benefits one party over another?
Well, the politics of these things are unfortunate. They do tend to get tied up in partisan disputes. In a study that a co-author and I did of the first election in which Election Day registration was available in Wisconsin, back in 1976, we found that it increased turnout and actually helped the Republicans. That was Gerald Ford in that election over Jimmy Carter. But in more recent elections, it seems to have helped Democrats on average across the country. So it very much does depend on the circumstances, and I think the effect would change which party is advantaged depending on the time and place and who's more likely to use it.
We had a caller who couldn't stay with us. Vivian called in from Green Bay to ask about provisional ballots. What are they, and are they at all connected to same-day registration? Megan, I think this one's for you.
Sure. So provisional ballots actually, first of all, a provisional ballot is a ballot that somebody can fill out. They can make their selections, and then it's put into a provisional ballot envelope to give the voter the opportunity to remedy the situation in order for their votes to be counted. Here in the state of Wisconsin, there's really only one reason to be issued a provisional ballot, and that is if you do not have acceptable photo ID. And so you show your photo ID after you're already registered to vote. Registering to vote in the state of Wisconsin is not a reason to be issued a provisional ballot. So if you're unable to register to vote at the polls on Election Day, let's say you do not have that proof of residence document, you will not be issued a provisional ballot. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The state of Wisconsin is not subject to the National Voter Registration Act. We're actually exempt. And the provisions of that act actually say that if you don't have Election Day registration, then voters can be issued provisional ballots for other additional reasons under that act. And so here in the state of Wisconsin, you would need to register to vote in order to receive a ballot, even a provisional one, at the polls on Election Day.
Megan, Wisconsin has had same-day registration for quite a long time. There are now 15 states, the District of Columbia, that have it. Is there any discussion or collaboration among states? Could Wisconsin provide a blueprint for other states that might want to implement same-day registration?
Sure. The state of Wisconsin, we do talk a lot to other states and provide sort of best practices on that implementation. We're always willing to help our fellow states when they're implementing things that, you know, we've had experience and practice in doing. I'm not aware of anybody in particular at this time that's kind of looking at our model, but that is a conversation that comes up from time to time when states are looking to implement to get a list of sort of best practices and ways to help train poll workers and make sure that people have the information that they need when a new law like that is being implemented.
We're talking about same-day voter registration, how it works, why more states don't allow it, and who benefits. Our guests are Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and Barry Burden, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Our conversation about same-day voter registration continues. Do you think same-day registration ought to be something that's available in all 50 states? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Wisconsin has same-day voter registration along with 14 other states and the District of Columbia. We're exploring how it works, why more states haven't adopted the practice, and the politics of same-day registration. Listeners, do you think Election Day registration should be available nationwide? Why or why not? Did you take advantage of it on Election Day here in Wisconsin? Are you glad it's an option for us? Is same-day registration worth the cost, and is it necessary? Let us know what you think at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and Barry Burden is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Barry, allowing people to register on Election Day isn't a new idea. How long has it been around?
Well, in the upper Midwest, it's been about half a century. It was in the mid-70s that both Wisconsin and Minnesota blazed a trail by adopting Election Day registration. It would have been in effect in Wisconsin first, I think, in the 1976 presidential election. So there's a long history here. It did take a while for other states to get on board. There was another wave of states, places like Wyoming and New Hampshire, that added Election Day registration in the 90s. partly in response to the National Voter Registration Act, which Megan mentioned earlier. And then in the past 3 or 4 years, we've seen another spate of states jump on board, D.C., Illinois, California, and others. So these things do tend to come in waves. There's a bit of a fad notion attached to them, but now we're at about a third of states with EDR of some form.
And was there ever a time when voters didn't have to register in Wisconsin, Barry?
There was. Actually, for much of Wisconsin's history, there was no statewide voter registration requirement. And in fact, that didn't come into being until 2006. Before 2006, only municipalities that had populations of greater than 5,000 were required to have voter registration. So cities like Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison had voter registration, but many small towns and villages did not. Some of them opted into having it, but none of them were required, and it was only a few hundred out of the roughly 1,800 or so that did. Mm-hmm. But as a result of the 2000 presidential election and that meltdown in Florida, we all remember, a federal law was passed called the Help America Vote Act, and that law required every state, essentially, to have a statewide voter registration database. And it was that that pushed Wisconsin into having a statewide system that brought all of the municipalities under one umbrella.
Let's take a call from Mike, who joins us from Spring Green. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling today just because I am certainly a big supporter of same-day registration, but I just wanted it to be emphasized a little bit what is required when you actually go in to register that same day. In our most recent election, a friend of mine, he was going in, hadn't voted for a couple of years, but it lived in the community where he was going to be voting. Went in, had the documents for proof of resident or for his actual address. Mm-hmm. Had a pay stub, but he did not have. He had a driver's license, but the driver's license, though it was valid, it was from out of state, and so he was not able to vote that day. So I just think that, I mean, it ties in, you know, with some of the, you know, complications with the recent voter ID law, some of the problems that it presents, because even though this person had a valid driver's license showing, you know, his face, his ID, and proof of residence, he wasn't able to vote.
Mike, thanks for that. Megan, must have a Wisconsin license. Out-of-state licenses don't work, correct?
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important to also note that we're talking about two separate processes here. The first is voter registration. So before you can get a ballot, you have to register to vote, and that's where you're going to show that proof of residence document, which is something that shows your current address. That can be your Wisconsin driver license if it has a current address, or it can be something else like a pay stub or a bank statement or a utility bill. Once you're registered to vote, then you're going to show photo ID in order to get your ballot. Now, that photo ID has to be one of the specific photo IDs that's allowed by law, and one of those is a state of Wisconsin driver license or a state of Wisconsin ID card. You can also use things like a passport or a military ID. There's also something called an ID available through the ID petition process with our state DMV. And so if somebody does have an out-of-state driver license, or they don't yet have a Wisconsin driver license, or they don't have things like a birth certificate to get a driver license, they can go through what's called the ID petition process at the DMV and still get an ID that's valid for voting. So in the case of that particular voter, they would be able to still go to the DMV and get an ID in order to be used for voting purposes, and they could even cast a provisional ballot on election day and then get that ID in order to cast their ballot.
There seems to be some confusion on the part of voters about what's required and for which thing. How big a factor is that kind of misinformation? Megan, how often do you run into these questions?
There is the tendency to conflate the idea of voter registration and photo ID. So a lot of our job is educating the poll workers, educating the clerks to make sure that they understand the difference between the two. There's also some misunderstanding, I think, amongst voters that your photo ID needs a current address on it, and that's not the case. Again, when you register to vote, that's when you're showing something with your current address on it, and that can be a number of different things. When you're showing your photo ID to get your ballot after you're already registered, your ID does not need to have your current address on it.
Barry, if same-day registration is such a great idea, why haven't more states adopted it?
You know, it turns out it's really hard for both election officials and voters to imagine a system they don't already have. So if we were to survey Americans across the country and ask them what practices they think their state ought to adopt and which ones they should avoid, people tend to like the practices that already exist in their state. So voters who live in places with election day registration tend to be fond of it, and voters who live in states without it seem concerned or uninterested. But that's true with other election practices as well. There are several states now that distribute all of their ballots by mail. They essentially have no polling places, and voters return their ballots either by mail or dropping them off at a drop box. And in those states, those voters and policymakers and election officials are really in love with their system. But if you ask people in other states whether you think an all-mail balloting system ought to be adopted, they're very reluctant. Mm-hmm. So there tends to be a kind of status quo bias where we're very attached to systems that are already in place.
Well, let's talk about some specific areas where critics of same-day registration have concerns. Barry, why do they say we shouldn't do it?
Well, I think the concerns you hear in other states are of a couple of types. One is about the administrative hassle of having to have a registration process ongoing at a polling place. Polling places are already cramped, busy affairs. It's difficult to find right locations. And so it's hard for them to imagine having another station, maybe other lines, additional poll workers to handle the registration process. The other concern you hear is about fraud or some kind of malicious activity where a person might register at multiple spots or vote in someone else's name. And I think both of those can be combated. If anyone wanted to visit Wisconsin and see how it operates, I think their concerns about both of those would be dispelled. Our polling places, again, for 50 years have had both registration and voting taking place. It does require a little bit of planning and some additional poll workers, but so does having a registration deadline before Election Day. You know, in those states, election registration forms tend to be dumped on election officials right off the deadline, and so there's a kind of crush of paperwork to process before they get to Election Day. What EDR does is essentially moves that workload later right to Election Day, but also puts it in a more secure environment, which is in the polling place itself.
And if you had to give us the over-under on the likelihood of same-day registration becoming a national thing, Barry, what would the number be?
National, I think close to zero. I think okay. Congress is unlikely to impose this on the states, but I do think we'll see other states add it as a reform.
Okay. Well, you know what? That'll be a good place for us to leave it. Megan, Barry, thank you so much for joining us this morning for our discussion about same-day voter registration. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Megan Wolf, Administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and Barry Burden, Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. And a reminder, you're listening to this program on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.